Two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, "What manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" And he said unto them, "What things?" And they said unto him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people." So I want to stop there. Just think about this. Here are these two men. We're assuming men. Cleophas, one of them was a man. We don't know who the other one was. In some of the readings I've done, Cleophas is said to have potentially had a wife named Mary, and it could have been Mary that was the second person. We don't have a real clear understanding, but at least one of them was definitely Cleophas. And it's been a busy day, if you will. They had no doubt gone to Jerusalem earlier in the week for Passover, because up until this point in time, Passover was the thing to do if you believed and followed God. That was the proper thing to do, go to Jerusalem for the Passover. They had gone up there and no doubt had watched the crucifixion of their Lord, pondered on it, thought upon it. Here was the man that we thought was the Redeemer of Israel. This was the person that we were looking to redeem us, to save us, to fulfill all the prophecies. And yet, earlier in the previous week, killed. Hastily buried because of the holy day that was coming, the high day. What a shock must have gone through the community of believers. Jesus dead? Really? How do you? Just imagine us today, if we were living in that time and had had the privilege of walking and talking with the Lord and seeing him as the Savior, and then suddenly hearing he's dead. You know, for those that actually went and watched from afar, seeing him on the cross, maybe watching him struggle for breath and eventually seeing the body go limp, watching the soldiers walk by and take that spear and stick it into the side and no reaction from the body. Seeing the blood and the water flow out the side. That would be, the word that comes to my mind would be demoralizing.
Yes.
It would shake,
yes.
I'm going to speak for myself. Not, it would shake me if yes. Depending upon my level of understanding, what is going on? And I can just imagine over the following days in between the crucifixion and the Sunday that there were small discussions in the group, people getting together. Well, what now? What do we do? What's happening? What? All the questions, the whys, pondering the meaning. I can see some of the disciples saying, trying to share with the group, well, the Lord told us he was going to die. And he told us he would be raised in 3 days. But if you've never seen a man come back from the dead, what kind of confidence are you going to have? I would be one of, I was born in Missouri and it's called the Show Me State. Some people say that's a bit of my nature. I'd be like, okay, I'm going to wait. And so time is passing. You know, 3 days may not sound like much time, but imagine if you're waiting on what you think is the Savior. It could seem like an eternity passing. I could just see people getting together and talking about, you know, the women apparently got together and talked about, we need to go back and rebury the body properly. Nothing against Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, that, you know, they buried him in a hurry, but we want to go back and we want to bury the body more appropriately. Give it a little more care. So they were obviously getting together and talking about that. And here, that morning, this morning, if you want to view it from today being Easter, some women had gone to the grave with the purpose of doing that, of rewrapping the body. And they get there, and part of their conversation is, well, I wonder who's going to help roll away this stone. And they get there, and the stone's rolled away. And not only that, but the grave's empty. And they came back to the group saying, an angel's told us he's risen. And, you know, now that word's starting to get out into the community. The women that were, you know how we'd been talking the last few days, and that group of women were going to go rebury the body? They said they went to the grave, and it's empty. And they saw angels that said he's risen. Well, did they see Jesus? Well, no, they didn't say if they did or not. I don't think anybody said anything about seeing Jesus yet. These two folks here, it says they knew that Peter and some of the others had ran to the grave and had found it just like the women had said, open and empty. Now, they didn't see the angels, but yes, the grave's empty. You know, it's the third day. That's what Jesus had said on the third day he would have risen. But I want us to pause for a moment and also consider that there was another story, no doubt, that was being put out. The body had been stolen away. Yes. Some people had come and stolen the body away. So now the disciples are also potentially, the believers or community is also potentially hearing that rumor start through the town, the grave's empty, but don't let them convince you that he's alive, because his body was stolen away. And so now these two gentlemen, and I'm going to refer to them as gentlemen if y'all give me that liberty, are headed back home to Emmaus. And I can just see it. Got to get on with lives, and we've got stocks and animals to take care of back in Emmaus, homes, property, maybe families. So we're going to head home. And as they're going, they're chewing on this in their minds and talking with each other. Wow, this has been a different day. You know, first of all, the news from the sisters that Christ isn't in there, that they saw angels, the grave's open, they didn't even have to roll back the stone. But we've also heard people saying that you know, the body's been stolen, and the disciples have been trying to tell us that he said he'd rise in 3 days. And this is just a lot going on. And they were pondering this, discussing this. And this fellow comes up to him. They don't recognize him at the time. We all know who he was. But he just comes up and joins them and says, hey, I see y'all talking and all that. You look like you're heading my direction, but y'all have some awful long faces. But what's got y'all in the doldrums? And yeah, they open up to him. Where have you been? Don't you know the last little bit? Haven't you heard? You know? This is what we're in the doldrums about. Part of me says, can you feel in their conversation a bit of hope underneath the despair and the darkness? Yes, they're talking about confusion, but even when they were referencing Jesus, they talked about concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. They didn't say he wasn't mighty. They didn't say he wasn't a prophet. They were still looking at him as a figure worthy of consideration. Yes. And so there was that, I'm going to call it that hope, buried under what appeared to be just the soberness of reality. And now let's drop on down to, in the same chapter, Luke 24 to verse 25. And then he, Jesus, said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Now, I love Jesus' response here. I consider it beautiful. Now, I've pondered it. you've had a stranger come up to join you on your walk, and you make mention to him and go through the litany of, he asks, why are you looking sad? And you go through everything that's happened. We're believers of Christ, and this is what's going on, and he was died and crucified, and now we've heard he's risen, but we don't know if he's risen, and get caught up to current events, and the stranger responds, oh, fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Well, wait a minute. You act like you didn't know what's going on, and now you're acting like you know something about the way we believe. Pray tell more. And it says, and beginning at Moses, Jesus began to open up the scriptures for him. Now, this stranger, as they would have been viewing him, suddenly starts talking about, well, let's, you know, you say you're confused. Well, let's go back to what Moses said. Let's go back to Moses and take his teachings and let. And can you imagine getting a personal lesson in salvation from Jesus? I don't know about you, but when I say jealous, I don't mean that in wanting to harm people, but there's a part of me that would be jealous for that. To be able to walk 7 miles down a road with Jesus while he expounds the scriptures to me. I don't know about y'all, but color me jealous. And I mean that in a brotherly, friendly way. What a wonderful, marvelous experience. Jesus met them there with their confusion and their doubts and their hopes and said, let me help you out. Let me explain what's going on. You know, I could just see him going over the atonement, the sacrificial system. Why did he go back to Moses? Let me help you understand the old law, the sacrifices, what they're laid out for, the Passover, its meaning, and why this happened at Passover. You know, there's the Day of Atonement. Why didn't Jesus die on the Day of Atonement? The Passover is when the sacrifice to get you out of Egypt occurred. The Day of Atonement is a day of judgment. That's a different day. But Jesus died on the Passover. I'm here to get you out of sin. I'm here to set you free. There's a reason these things are happening. And I find it interesting in the research I've done. I think Jesus died about 3:00 in the afternoon. Do you know, in most of the traditions I've found, when it talks about killing of the paschal lambs, as they call them, that would have happened about 3:00 in the afternoon. I just find little things like that interesting to see. Things just kind of line up. And I could just feel probably the conversation these two men were having take a different tone suddenly. Because now this man talking to him, he's not talking from a position of doubt, is he? How many times has it said Jesus spoke with authority? And I have no doubt that when he started this conversation, he was speaking with authority. Hey, let me help you understand. Let me expound to you the word of my Father who gave this word to Moses. Let me clarify for you anything that you don't think you understand. So dropping on down to verse 28. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Now, here they are. They've reached, I'm going to call it home for all practical matters. That's the assumption. If you had been in Jerusalem for the Passover feast, Emmaus is home. They've reached home. It's getting late in the evening. Jesus is acting like he's going to go on down the road. I've got a little further to go. And they're like, hold on. You know, our spirits have knit with you, sir. We don't know who you are, but there's something about you that we're drawn to you. And we really don't want you to have to go down the road. It's getting dark. It's going to be dangerous on the road. Why don't you come in and spend the night with us? We'll give you a meal, give you a place to stay. You can go on in the morning. And it said, Jesus basically said, okay, I'll do that. And so they go in, sit down, and they're going to have a meal. And as they start to break bread, Jesus breaks the bread and blesses it. And it says their eyes were opened and he vanished out of their sight. What kind of excitement can you imagine went through those folks at that time? If I had to title this message, it would be called, He is Alive. No questions, no statements. If anything, 40,000 exclamation marks at the end of that statement. He is alive.
Yes.
It's no longer a question. It's no longer a doubt. It's no longer confusion. We just spent the afternoon, we didn't realize it, but we just spent the afternoon walking with Jesus, hearing him expound these things. So it's opening our understanding. And then he personally revealed him to us. He's alive.
Yes.
The excitement, the energy. And so what happens? Starting off in verse 33. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. Now they've just traveled home. But now they're so excited. It's 7 miles back to Jerusalem, but we're headed there. Why? He's alive.
Yeah.
He is alive. And they rose up the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And when they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. I could just see these men hurrying back to Jerusalem. Now, they had just told Jesus it wasn't safe to be out on the road at night. But they've got good news. Do they seem to be worried at all suddenly about the safety of being on the road? No. Why? Jesus is alive. The fear and the darkness and the doubt, gone. Jesus is alive and we need to let people know. I could see them just about running all the way back to Jerusalem. Getting there and just drenched with sweat, huffing and puffing, hardly able to say a word, knocking on the door. The door is open. They stumble into the room. Still can't hardly speak. And of course, you know there was something going on in that room. There was some excitement in the room as well. Because it says while they were getting into the room, the people in the room were saying, Hey, Jesus is alive. He's appeared unto Mary and he's appeared unto Peter. And these men finally catch their breath. And yes, we know he's appeared unto us too. He's alive. You know, folks, that's the Easter story of Easter evening.
Yep.
Jesus is alive.
Yes, he is.
You know, we can live for God. And sometimes I feel like we can be just like those people on the road to Emmaus. We can sit there. We can be believers, but we're not eyewitnesses. I didn't see Jesus die. I didn't see him raised from the dead either. But, you know, we can have questions. We can try to share our beliefs. As I think of the Cleophas and whoever the other person was, they tried to explain what was going on. They were doing their best, like trying to explain the situation, what was going on. And then Jesus. How hard do you think it was for them to explain what happened after that walk? So what happened in Jerusalem? Oh, let me tell you about that story. You know, yeah, Jesus, yep, they caught him. They put him on the cross. They killed him. But Easter morning, that grave was empty.
Yes.
It was empty. The stone had been rolled back. The women that were going there to prepare them, they didn't find it. Why? He was alive. No doubts, no confusions. That is what we can have today. Do you know what? I can say with personal conviction that I know he's alive because of what he's done and is doing for me now.
Yes.
And I'm pretty sure that around this room there's others that would be just as quick to say, he's alive. I can testify to it. And I just wanted to share that with us this evening as encouragement. Jesus is alive. We focus on the cross oftentimes, but the story didn't end there. I heard it said one time, I think it's a popular contemporary Christian song, where a man supposedly is talking to somebody else and they're talking about Christ, and the man says, yeah, I've heard that story. He born, lives, does all this stuff, and then he dies. And the person says, oh, but it doesn't stop there. That's just the beginning. And you know, that is just the beginning. That's what sets us free. That's what gets us into eternity. When does eternity end? Never. Jesus' story will never end. Y'all pray for me.